Hello everybody, I'm Bruce Kyle. I'm an architect evangelist and I represent Microsoft with software companies in the United States Pacific Northwest. I'm here with Stuart Solarier to explore the new language features in C# 4. It's a whirlwind tour of C# 4. Stuart's going to describe each of the major features and why it's useful. He doesn't get into best practices nor suggested usages. It's just the facts about each feature.
Hello. I'm Stuart Solarier, and I'm a Microsoft Regional Director in Portland, Oregon, and an MVP on Connected Systems. You can reach me through my blog at visualstuart.net.
Hey, Stuart, what's today's whirlwind?
Today, we're going to talk about Dynamic Lookup, one of my favorite features, new in C# 4.0. Now, you're probably wondering, what's dynamic? Maybe you got some ideas about it. I'm here to explain it to you. Dynamic means that an object's type may not be known until runtime. And that means that the members of that object and their signatures, what parameters they take, what it returns, that isn't known until runtime. And that means that calls on dynamic objects must be dynamically dispatched. And that means that a call could fail at runtime because the method doesn't exist or the parameters don't work out for the right kinds of types for that method. And if you've been programming in the C# world for any amount of time, that's crazy talk. I mean, what's going on here? I could never program in a world that I don't know until runtime whether that code's going to succeed. Well, hang on just a second. Dynamic objects have been all around you for a long time. For example, maybe you've programmed with system.reflection, where I can reflect over in an assembly and find out the classes it has, the methods, the signatures of those methods, and put together calls at runtime. Now, I'm not getting any language support for that. I'm just using the library and the base class library for system.reflection. But that's very much dynamic programming. It's slow and laborious, but there it is. If I'm programming against COM objects that implement the iDispatch interface, that's dynamic dispatch. So at runtime, I'll find out, does it have this particular method on it that I'm trying to call? Maybe I'm programming with dynamic structures. When I'm programming against, for example, an HTML DOM or an XML DOM, it's only at runtime that I find out if a particular element contains other certain elements that I'm looking for. And maybe, and probably increasingly more in my future, I might need to program and interoperate with a dynamic language, like maybe Python or Ruby. So, introducing to you a new keyword in C#, and that word is dynamic. Dynamic is a type, and so you use it just like you use any other type. So, for example, it could be the type of a parameter or the return type of a method. It could be the type of a variable declared within some scope. And when I use the keyword dynamic, it means that the object being typed with dynamic, I'm statically declaring that that object's type will be dynamic. What's that mean? That means that the C# compiler is doing a new trick. It's replacing what it would normally do at compile time performing type checking with instead recording metadata about that call. What's the name? What are the types of parameters being passed in? So that metadata can be used at runtime to resolve the call. And one of two things is going to happen. It'll either get dynamically dispatched, or I'll get a runtime error. This is going to be a lot more clear if we take a look at some code. I have here a sample project, and I have downloaded a copy of Iron Python and installed it on my system. And I'm a beginning Python programmer. We're going to be making hardly any use of it, just enough to be able to see that we're calling into a dynamic language. So you can see I've added a reference here to my project, to the Iron Python DLL. I've also got some other references there that that provide me with the necessary scaffolding. And I've got some code. It's a console application, and this is going to create a runtime. A runtime is a place for some code to live. It's a scripting runtime, and I'm going to use a file called calculator.py, which happens to be part of my project. I've got it right here. Let's take a look at that. Calculator is going to be a dynamic object, and it's got a method on it called add. Add takes two parameters and returns the sum of them. Hey, Bruce, what are the types of parameters A and B here?
It's whatever makes sense at runtime. In this case, it's a method is so straightforward that it's whatever A and B mean something in Python. I've heard that's called duck typing.
Well, you heard correctly. Yeah, that's duck typing. So if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it must be a duck. Anytime A plus B makes sense, this method will work. So let's take a look at an example there. On line 14, you can see I'm creating a dynamic object called calculator, and I'm using it in a couple of places. First place is right down here. I'm taking a pair of ints and passing those in. And there is actually two invocations of dynamics here. One is dynamically looking for a method called add on the dynamic calculator at runtime and passing in the ints. But the result of that is a dynamic object. And so there is a cast from that dynamic object to int, in this case, that's also happening for me at runtime. Right below that, I've got another use of the dynamic calculator object, and this time I'm going to pass in two decimals. And in Python, at least, plus sign makes sense between two decimals. So this is also going to evaluate to something. And then I'm saying whatever I get back, I know that's a dynamic object, but I should be able to cast that to a decimal. But wait, in Python, plus sign also makes sense between two strings. It's string concatenation, as it is in many languages. So I should be able to pass in two strings and get a concatenated string coming out. Let's go ahead and run the application and see. So of course, in the first case, the answer is 42. And in the second case, the answer is 42. And in the third case, the answer is 42. So it must be correct. So what we saw was three calls into a dynamic object. Those calls were dynamically dispatched. And because the dynamic object's add method made sense for the parameters that we passed in, we were able to pass in different types of parameters and use them all in a meaningful and dynamic way. Now, one question that always comes up right about now is, so isn't that the same thing as var? And I'd like you to be completely, perfectly clear about this. Var is type inference. That's saying statically, at compile time, Mr. Compiler, would you take a look at what's on the type of what's on the right-hand side of an assignment statement, and make that be the type of what's on the left-hand side of the assignment statement. At compile time, the type of the object is known. Dynamics is saying we won't know or care about the type of that object until runtime, and in fact, as we saw in our example, it may be a different type on each invocation of that. Now, there are a few limitations. For example, dynamic lookup cannot resolve extension methods. Let's quick review if extension methods aren't on the top of your list of things that you've been programming with lately. So I can have a static method and decorate the first parameter with the this modifier, saying that even though this is a static method, I can invoke it as if it were an instance method on the type of the first parameter. So if you take a look at that last line, meow, which is not a member of cat at all, It's an extension method, but I'm invoking it as if it were a member of cat. And you might be able to see why dynamic lookup would be confused about that, because if cat were a dynamic object, it would be looking dynamically for a member of cat. You can find out more about extension methods in Whirlwind 6, that's part of what was new in C# 3.0. Find that on Channel 9. Another limitation is that dynamic methods are not able to pass anonymous functions. What does that mean? So consider here I've got a dynamic object called Heisenberg, and Heisenberg wants to make some observations. And so if Heisenberg has a method at runtime called observe that's expecting a function, an observation function, to be passed in. Well, I can do that as long as I, in the first case, as long as I create a function and give it a name, in this case, location observer, and I can pass that function in by name. What I can't do is define that function in line with the observe call so that that function doesn't have a name. And we did that. We do that with the delegate keyword. And since lambda expressions are really just a declarative way of writing anonymous functions, I'm also not able to pass lambda expressions in to dynamic objects. You can get more information about anonymous functions in Whirlwind 3. That was part of what's new in C# 2.0. And more about lambdas in Whirlwind 7, part of C# 3. Find both of those up on Channel 9. But if I put together those two limitations, that really means that I can't use link over dynamic objects. Link and dynamics don't compose. And it's pretty easy to see why. Here, if I have a dynamic collection and I try and do some link things with it, well, select is an extension method, so all bets are off there. And even if I could get around that, this selector that's being used here is a lambda expression, and that's also all bets are off. Now, the C# implementation of dynamic happens using the dynamic language runtime, or the DLR. So that runtime component of the dynamic keyword, the dynamic dispatch, is happening based on this dynamic language runtime. Now, the DLR use is transparent to users of dynamic lookup, although you might notice you get a certain efficiency due to caching. So imagine you've got a dynamic dispatch happening inside of a loop. The first pass through that loop requires looking up and validating that that method exists and compiling some code at runtime to be able to make that call. That code is then cached so that subsequent passes through the loop are able to operate much faster. The DLR is a normal assembly, just like any other assembly. It's hosted on the CLR, and in fact, it's part of system.core, which means that every machine that has .NET 4 installed on it has support for dynamic languages, as well as dynamic lookup. The DLR uses the lightweight code gen. It's part of system.reflection. And all of this really is to say that the dynamics inside of C# work in a consistent way with all of the dynamic languages that we find on the .NET framework. You could choose to go a step further and perform dynamic programming in C#. So not just lookup, but writing some dynamic code. So implementing an object which gets dynamically dispatched means implementing the iDynamic object interface. And that's going to require that you understand some of the dynamic language runtime itself. So we've kind of transitioned out of talking about a C# feature here to say there's library support for creating dynamic objects. A great example of that, go up on Channel 9 and find the dynamic XML example. That allows you to take a dynamic structure like XML, and where I would normally write something like we see in the first line there, where attribute is in fact a collection of attributes on element, and this code is looking for an attribute whose name is last name, it would be more natural, easier to write, easier to maintain, if I could write something like I see in the second line, where I want element to be a dynamic object, and at runtime determine, does it have something that can be interpreted by this dynamic XML object as a last name. In this case, find it as an attribute. So my code gets simpler, and it actually acknowledges the dynamic aspect of the XML DOM. If I were to be making heavy use of dynamically dispatched objects, I should probably consider actually using a dynamic language and enjoying the support that I would get for dynamics within a language like that. And then interoperate with my C# code using dynamic lookup. So choose the tool that's appropriate. You want to have several tools in your tool chest. That brings me to talking for a second about the dynamic languages that we'll find on the .NET framework. Two of them have been developed as part of the DLR project. The first one is IronPython. That's what I was using in my example. It's an open source implementation of Python, and you can find out more about it and download it from ironpython.net. Second, we've got IronRuby. That's an open source implementation of Ruby, and as you would expect, you can find out more about it at ironruby.net. So with dynamic lookup, C# has a syntax that's identical for all dynamic objects. We saw that in our example for dynamic languages, but it works exactly the same way if I'm making calls to dynamically dispatched COM or dynamic objects that have been written in C#. So I encourage you to write some dynamic code today.
This is Bruce again. Thanks for watching. The links to the code are posted up on Channel 9, and you can come join me on the USISV community blog.
And this is Stuart Solarier. I'll see you at visualstuart.net.